We have been born again, Jesus. We have been born again. We have entered the sheepfold, Lord. We have been born again. We have life and life in abundance through all that you are, Jesus. Through the confession of our mouth, the confession of our mouth, the belief of our heart that you are the Christ, the Son of God in the flesh, our Redeemer. We are not ashamed, Jesus. We are not ashamed, Jesus. We are not ashamed, Jesus, to give you praise. We are not ashamed, King Jesus. We are not ashamed, King Jesus, to give you praise. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. I love you. I take it personal. I make it personal.
We love you,
Lord. I love you, Jesus.
I love you, Lord God.
I love you, my Lord and my King. I love you, my
Lord.
I glorify you, Father.
I love you, Jesus. Marty, if you can get You Are Holy ready, please. Whenever you get it, just go ahead and play, please. You Are Holy. Bless you, Jesus.
We magnify you. We exalt you, God. You're our
best friend,
Jesus. The lover of our soul, Jesus.
Love you, Jesus.
Exalted one.
I love you, Jesus.
King of the universe, high and lifted up.
I worship you,
Mighty God, Lord of the armies of heaven.
I love you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, victorious one.
I love you, Jesus. Okay, have a seat. I actually hear people here on a Wednesday night. Y'all thought Pastor Brant was going to be here. Well, Pastor's not here. He's back in town, but he had to do two funerals today. He did one at 11 and one at 6:30, and he had an emergency hospital visit. Somebody had a blood clot, I believe. So Pastor's extremely, he just got back in yesterday. He texted me early this morning. Well, I woke him up. I said, look, I don't care if you're back from vacation. Get up and pray. So we went back and forth through text today, and he called me and said, guess what? And I knew it was coming because he said he had two funerals. I said, okay, I think I got one more in me. Well, this will be the fifth time in Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, fifth time in, well, anyway. You know, I was really, honestly, I was really looking forward to hearing him today. I really was. You know, hey, we just miss our pastor. Forgive me, Lord, I didn't feel like preaching. I wanted to hear my pastor. I wanted to hear him. And that's the way it should be, shouldn't it? Not that we all don't have nothing to offer. If Gay taught, if Marty taught, whoever's here, anybody could have taught, but we miss our pastor. I miss that old redneck. But, yeah. And don't tell him I said that. Yeah. But, hallelujah. Praise God. We'll just get ready real quick to receive an offering. I think Robert or Harry put them up already. So whatever you determine in your heart to give, you know what we preach here. We preach the gospel. We preach the word of God. The apostles' doctrine, there's no curse if you don't give your 10%. Why not? Well, because it's not biblical. That's why, because it's not biblical. You know, what gets me is it's commonly preached that, well, you give 10%, if not, you'll be cursed. I said, okay, well, let me comprehend this here. If I give 10%, I won't be cursed. That means I'm blessed. So can I fornicate? I'm supposed to laugh. That's a joke. You get it, don't you? So basically, I can get drunk and be a drunkard and walk in strife and still be blessed because I gave my 10%. No, the church has it so backwards, man. So backwards. We fail to give ourselves over to the Holy Ghost, and we fail to take a subject where it starts and meditate it where it ends. That's why there's so much confusion. That's why there's denominations. That's why there's 20,000 different beliefs and 20,000 different churches. Why? Because we don't know where a subject starts, and we do not know where it ends. We'll take a verse in chapter 20, chapter 8, and chapter 6, and we'll make one lesson out of it. We just don't have, and we have left out the most important person in the world out of our daily meditation, which is the Holy Ghost, who guides us into all truth. Make no mistake, the Holy Ghost is the one here on earth. He is God's. God, the Holy Ghost, is here. He's the one that reveals true revelation knowledge to me and you, and no one else does. Not like him. Pastor Dave is incredible. Pastor Bronk is incredible. All the teachers in Tulsa are incredible. Pastor Jim Martin is incredible. But they got their lessons, they got their revelation knowledge from one person. That is the Holy Ghost. Make no mistake, it is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost is the one that brings true doctrine, true revelation, true knowledge. Even the prophetic comes from the Holy Ghost. You don't believe me? Read 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Don't just read it once or twice. That's where the church misses it. We'll read something twice and we'll do a six-month seminar on it. 6 months. God's going to speak to me. Well, somebody came to me once and they got mad at me, actually. They said, I want your blessing. I said, okay, what do you want my blessing on? I want to preach the book of James to a bunch of, I need your endorsement, basically, they were saying, so that, first of all, nobody needs my endorsement. But they said, I want to start a girls' Bible study and preach the book of James to them. And automatically, I said, oh, Lord, James is that's a rough book. Not rough, it's just, it's kind of hard to understand. And so I asked a very simple question. I said, have you ever read the book of James? No. It'd be like me teaching language arts, and I'm a Mexican from Mexico that don't know English. And I talked to somebody about that. I wanted to make sure I was not in error. I got in pride anyway. We're going to take up an offering in a little bit. And I asked somebody that I thought was going to give me a pretty smooth answer back and agree with me. You know what they told me? They said, that's what's wrong with this camp. You guys worry about being right too much. Yes. I said, you guys worry about being right too much. Who's right at the end? You're 90% being right or her 90% being wrong? What's important here? Jesus is right, but we can't let anybody teach God's word, especially the book of James. Jesus, that book is it's rough, man. I've been going over that book for 8 or 9 years, maybe hundreds of times, and I think I got it. I think I do, but that's the problem. We let anybody teach anything, and that's why the church is so messed up, man. It's so messed up. So messed up. But you know what, though? There's a remnant out there that will not bow to society. There's a remnant that will and are a remnant of women and men that are going to give themselves over to the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. There's a few that are contending for more than a roller coaster ride in Christianity. There's a remnant that's saying, look, I choose to deny myself daily, to take up my cross every single day, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times a day. I choose to take up my cross every opportunity. When there's an offense, I take up my cross. When I want to give an offense, I crucify the flesh. I crucify it. I don't revile back. When I suffer, I commit to him who judges righteously. You know what, my friends? It's about Jesus. It's about bringing him an everlasting glory. By what we say, by what we don't say, by what we do, and by what we don't do. It's all about Jesus. Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, my friends. Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Quick to listen to what? The engrafted word that abides in me and you. If we're quick to listen to that and slow to speak, we'll hear what he says to us. And if we do what he says, that's commendable to him. That is so commendable to the Father. With tithes and offerings or the offerings that we receive, it amazes me. I had questions the other day. People called me. They had questions about what I said about at the homecoming conference. About, you know, being not under a curse. And it's amazing how people almost, they want to be under a curse if they don't give. They want to argue with you. I said, okay then, you want to be under a curse? Be under a curse. My Bible says to be a cheerful giver. The New Testament don't say nothing to me about being under a curse if I don't give 10%. It's not there. You can't put it together. It's not there. So they want to be under a curse. If they don't give, so be it. I know we don't preach that here. We give out of a cheerful heart. Because we love Jesus. That's the only reason. Because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So stand with me, please. I touched on 19 different issues over the offering. That's called being surprised that you're going to teach tonight. Hallelujah. So Marty gives a little something. Guys, come up, offer up your... Sow your offering and we'll get on our way. Worship. Hallelujah. The King. Before we pray for the offering, is Rex here? Is Rex, Rex, you can come on. Before we pray for the offering, I almost forgot. If any of you still wanted to sow into the Tulsa trip, we're going to leave Saturday between 12 and 1 o'clock. Any of you that wanted to sow into the church to provide for the trip, we're taking 10 young adults to Tulsa. This will give you that opportunity. Just get with Rex or whatever after the service, and he'll put the money in the bucket. But just designate it for the Tulsa conference. So we'll know we got our offering for the church. And then if you have something that you want to sow to help out the young people, it's going to be an expensive trip. We're borderline on funds. No, never mind. We got all the funds that we need. We got all the funds that we need because we're blessed, because we got people in this church that love Jesus. So if God laid something on your heart, just get with Rex or one of the usher, one of the elders of the church, and just designate it Tulsa Conference. Okay? All right, Rex, will you bless the offering, please?
Oh, Father, we thank you, Lord God, for everything that you're doing with us individually, Lord, and our private time and our corporate time, Father. And there may not be a whole lot of people here, Lord God, but you're here in the midst of us always. And we know that more and more each day, Father, as we come to know you more and more. So, Father, all the offerings, all the blessings coming into this house, Lord God, there's a lot of need going in and a lot of need going out, Father. We're able to just bless a lot of other ministries besides just here at home. And we do it continuously, and we'll continue to do it more and more as the days come in. So, Father, we glorify you for all of that, and we give you all the praise and glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Get Harry's famous medley from me. I don't leave home without it. It's part of my. Is it Harry or Robert that does that medley for me? Oh, excuse me, Robert. Yeah, so play that for me, Miss Mavis. I love it. It's with me everywhere I go. So, Father, we thank you and we bless you and we glorify your name. Hallelujah. Well, here I am again. Pastor will be back Friday, and he really, really wanted to be here. He hadn't been here for a while. He wanted to minister God's word, and I wanted him to minister God's word, but you're stuck with me again. So we're going to have a good time. I promise you there's some stuff that I've been meditating for a while. It's been on my heart. It's pretty new stuff to me, some new revelation that I've received of the Holy Ghost. So if you have an ear to hear, you would hear what the Spirit of the Lord would say, and I just pray that you be blessed. And we had a blast Saturday again. You know, the more I fall in love with Jesus, the more that I go into him, I'm concluding every day, every quiet time that I have as I spend the majority of my day with the Father, I conclude that it's faith in the name of Jesus Christ. It's all that matters. I conclude that it's the Holy Ghost that works the miracle. What he did Saturday was incredible. I don't know if you were here or not, but the way he filled 18 people with the Holy Ghost, and almost every elder that I talked to was saying the same exact thing. They're going to get filled with the Holy Ghost. They're going to get filled with the Holy Ghost. And I knew they were going to get filled with the Holy Ghost. And I was thinking before, how do I do it? Because I knew through the Spirit, believe it or not, that many were going to come forward. And many did. But I knew through the Holy Ghost to lay my hand on one. I wanted them to get closer together. So I laid my hand on one. And somebody was moving my hand around. I don't know who it was to touch other people, but I pulled my hand back. Because that's not the way I saw him show me how to do it. As soon as I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, and they just busted out in tongues. That goes to show that a man has nothing to do with the power of God. The Bible says in the book of Acts, and you shall receive power, and ye shall receive power, and ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. We shall receive and have received power the day we got filled with the Holy Ghost. Make no mistake. It's not a human endeavor, my friends. It is the power of God, the third person of the Godhead that works every single miracle. Has nothing to do with me and you. It's our faith in the name of Jesus Christ and the saturation of the Holy Ghost in our spirit. He is the finger of God. He is the power of God. He is God that puts forth and works forth the miracles in our midst. Make no mistake, we have nothing to do with it. Just a yieldedness to the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Ghost. Make no mistake, and the more that I spend time with Jesus, I conclude and I concur, Father, it is the Holy Spirit. He doeth the work. It's you, Father. We can ourselves do nothing. Our Father doeth the work. The more that I pray, the more that I fast, the more that I seek Jesus and go through the Holy Scriptures, I conclude that the Holy Ghost works the work. He does the miracle. All I do is believe every day more and more in the name of this man named Jesus Christ. That is my consolation, that I have received power. I have received power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon me. And we all know after Acts chapter 1 what those 11 men did. They turned the world upside down. There's a group in this town of Immokalee through the Holy Ghost. The glory of God will be displayed in this region through men and women, through teenagers, through anyone that knows who they are in Christ. They will work the works through the power of the Holy Ghost. We just cannot bow to society. We cannot bow to religion. We cannot give the flesh any room, any authority in our life. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. The Word of God is never the problem. How many of you can say amen to that? The Word of God is never the problem. It's the contradiction of the Word that's the problem in our midst. Now we know the world's going to contradict God. That's evident. I'm sure in the last week you found out how evident that is. The world, an unbeliever, is going to contradict the Word of God. Why? Because they have a dead nature. They are not born again. They are unregenerate. They're going to contradict the Word. In fact, they're going to hate the Word. We know that. That's just a gimme. We know that. We know the Word is not the problem. The spoken Word, the written Word, the Logos, the Rhema, that is not the problem at all. If you think the Word's a problem or the Word's not working for you, no, my friend, you're not working for the Word. Make no mistake. The Word are holy, undefiled thoughts of the Father of creation. Make no mistake. God's Word is His Word. It's who He is. If it's believed, it's going to come forth and it will manifest if it is believed. We know that society, the world, the heathen will contradict and hate the Word. We know that. We know that religion will contradict and hate the Word. We know that even some Christians that are born again in Holy Ghost filled, we know that through ignorance, they will contradict the Word. We know that. We know that. The Word is not the problem at all. It is not the problem. You know what else contradicts the Word? Our flesh. It opposes everything that is right. Isn't that what the book of Galatians tells us? There's a consistent friction between the two, between our spirit man that has been lit by the Holy Ghost and by the flesh. They're always at odds with each other. But you know what? One operation has the life of God in it. The other one has been declared positionally dead. So what operation should win? The operation of our spirit, wherein dwelleth holiness and true righteousness, or true righteousness and holiness. That's the part of me and you that we live out of. Nothing else. That's the part that Jesus Christ lived out of, also by the leadership of the Holy Ghost. The Word is not the problem. You got proof? Yes, I got proof through the Holy Scriptures. Mark 4, if you can. The last few verses of Mark 4. And those of you that are not here, that are here that don't really know me, I'm going through a season right now with my eyesight, so I'm not able to read the Scriptures, so bear with me, please, if I miss one or two words out of context, the overall thought will be right. So just bear with me as I'm believing God for the miraculous. And it's coming, my friends. It's coming. So Mark 4, the end of Mark 4, maybe a little bit of Mark 5, I don't know. Here we have, now we're going to talk about the Word. The Word. The Word. The Word of God. The words of Christ. We're going to talk about the Word. Here we have the last few verses of Mark 4, where they are about to load a ship and cross over the Sea of Galilee. They're in Capernaum, going over to the country of the Gadarenes. Jesus says to the 12, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now, again, I'm paraphrasing, and I'm going to exhort you. I won't be able to teach you on this, but I can exhort you. They're in Capernaum, going to cross over the Sea of Galilee to the country of the Gadarenes. Jesus says to his disciples, "Let us go over unto the other side." So they get into a ship. The Bible says there was also other little ships with him. And as they began to row into the sea, the Bible says that there was a what? A storm, a strong wind. The waves beat upon the ship and filled it with what? With water. The waves beat upon the ship and the ship was filled with water. King Jesus was in the back of the ship, asleep on a pillow. "Let us go over unto the other side." Now we're going to clarify today the power of God's word. Jesus told the 12, "Let us go over unto the other side." There were other little ships with him, and as they went into the ship, a storm arose. The wind blew. The waves got so high and radical that they began to fill the ship, and undoubtedly it was on its way to sinking. And he was on the hinder part of the ship, Mark records, asleep. Picture this through imagery. So they go to him. "Master, carest thou not that we," what? "Perish? Carest thou not that we perish?" They woke him up. You know what? I'm not going to make fun of him. You know what I would have said? "Master, carest thou now that I get motion sickness and that I'm sick on this boat? You know I can't stand, I throw up, Jesus. I'm not going to make fun of him." But he says, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" The Bible says that Jesus what? Arose and what? Rebuked the what? Rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." He's on the hinder part of the ship. Like Mexicans say, he was Mimi. I don't know how Haitians say it. How you say it, Carl? Dummy. Okay. Dummy said dummy. No me, okay. Dormir. That's what we say in Spanish. So you got to picture this. He says unto them, "Let us go into the other side." Mark records that there were other little ships with him. As he got in the ship and went over the Sea of Galilee, a storm arose. The wind blew. The waves beat upon the ship. The water was in the ship, and it probably began to sink. They go to him on the hinder part of the ship, and they say, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" So he arose, rebuked the wind. Picture this. Jesus was asleep on the hinder part of the boat. He arose, rebuked the wind, said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And he looked at them and said what to them? Why are you what? Why are you so fearful? And then? How is it that you have no faith? Why are you so fearful? Listen to this now. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have? He didn't say little faith, did he? He says little faith many a times throughout the gospel. What did he say? He said, you got no faith. You woke me up out of my Mimi. How is it that you have no faith? Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? What kind of question was that Jesus would ask the disciples? I personally think that the 12 were with him along with the 70, because he was asleep on the hinder part of the ship. That meant the ship must have been pretty good size. That's my opinion. Nonetheless, he was on the hinder part of the ship, asleep, and they went to him and they woke him up in the midst of the storm, in the midst of a ship sinking, being battered and bruised by the waves of the wind, and the water began to fill the ship. So they woke him up. You have to imagine this. They woke him up and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Seven words they uttered. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Seven words, right? Seven words. They woke him up. He arose, spoke to the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And when Big Daddy Jesus talks and he commands, Big Daddy Jesus gets what he wants, because he is the Son of God. Like Gary Carpenter says, he is love on legs, 100% power, 100% virtue. He is mercy. He is forgiveness. He is the Son of the living God. Though he worked this in his humanity with a born-again spirit. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Why not say, why is it that you only have a little faith? Why would Jesus say to them, why are you so fearful? I know why I would have been fearful that day, because there was water in the ship and I was about to drown. And guess what? That made them fearful. Pretty simple, right? Not a great revelation knowledge. Why are you so fearful? Well, Jesus, can I answer that question, Lord? You see, there's this ship and we're in the midst of the ship, and maybe, I don't know how deep the water is, but the boat's about to sink, Lord, and I believe I'm going to perish. So that would qualify me to be fearful. And by the way, Lord, I don't know how to swim, and I don't think we have life jackets in this boat, being 2,000 years ago. So I have a great reason to be fearful. Remember, what we're going to break down here, the power of the Word of God. Why are ye so fearful? You woke me up. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? He didn't say little faith. He said, how is it that you have no faith? Well, they concluded. How many of you know that when there's issues in our life, we begin to quote God's word, saturating our soul? We minister to our soul. We never allow our soul or our flesh to minister to us. I love what Gay says on Friday night. Soul. My soul, believe this. What she confessed, that is so underrated. That is so underrated when Gay says that. We ought to get so excited when she says it, because you know what? Our soul and our flesh, we can't sit there and allow our flesh and our soul to dictate to me and you what we're going to believe. And unless you take God's word out and you speak to that mountain, you minister to your soul. Don't let your soul minister to you. They allowed a natural circumstance to dictate to them what they were and what they were not going to believe. Why is it that you're so fearful, O ye of no faith? None. Well, I know what I, Jesus, I know why I'm fearful, Jesus. I'm in the middle of the sea. Elijah's got a baseball game tomorrow. I'm taking my wife to our anniversary to Burger King. And I want her to miss that romantic dinner. I'm going to let her supersize, Jesus. Jesus, that boat's going like this. In the name of Jesus, I'm all scared, Jesus. I'm going to sink, man. And plus, I get motion sickness, Jesus. You know, when the boat moves, I get real sick. Me vomito, Jesus. I throw up. That's why I'm fearful. Sorry. You know, I get. You know, I can't ride in the back of an automobile all the way to Tulsa, Lord. You know, that's why I got to go in the front. Much less a ship sinking, Lord. Cut me some slack, man. No life jacket. Ain't got nothing. I'm scared. Why are you so fearful? Oh, ye of no faith. What do you say, little faith? No faith. How do you say no in Creole, Carl? I looked the word no faith up in the Greek and in the Hebrew and the Strong's, interlinear, exterior. I don't know all the stuff that Dave says. I looked it up. You know what it means? No means no. Nada. Nothing. Nothing. Now you got to catch this. He's comical. I'm making it comical for a reason, but you're going to like this. You're going to like this. Trust me, you're going to like it. The power of God's word. The word never fails when it is believed. Never. It is. You know, my son had his last baseball game. And this is how logic creeps in. And you know, I was believing this crazy, a spirit was coming to me. The spirit sounded good. I said, oh my God, it's going to be so awesome, this game. It's Elijah's last game as a senior. And I know God's going to open up my eyes in this last game because he wants me to see my son. You know what? God doesn't owe me anything. I owe myself to spiritually endeavor to know and to keep his word. He has fulfilled all through Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. It is all fulfilled. It's up to me to go get it and believe it, my friends. All things are possible to him who believes. I looked up all things in the Greek, and all things means all things. If only I can believe. If I go home 40 years from now, never seeing again, don't start a doctrine that it was not the will of God to heal me. Because it is the will of God. If I go home 40 years from now and I don't see it, it's because I did not believe that which has been completed. And that is that I have been healed. Matthew 8 says that he took our infirmities and he bare our sickness. Point blank. I won't even argue that with you. Because before he said that, a leper was healed. One was healed of the palsy and one was healed of a fever. Then he said himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. That's the end of the conversation, man. We have not. No, let me personalize it. I have not because currently, presently, I don't believe his word yet. And I will not bring a reproach on the gospel of Jesus Christ because my faith is not where it needs to be. And I won't even argue it with you. At all. That's so concrete. It is so sold to me. You can't take it from me. That's why I'm going to teach you Mark 4. The power of his word. The power of his word. Master, carest thou not that we perish? He arose, rebuked the wind, said to the sea, peace. Think about that, man. Can you imagine? Peace, be still. Why are you so fearful? Oh, ye of no faith. What qualified them to be fearful was a natural element. What causes us to be fearful? A doctor report. Things in the natural. Though we know God's word, The flesh comes to oppose that which is holy, which is His word. It always comes to oppose it, man. That's what we have to do, what Miss Gay says. Soul, my soul, my soul, believe this. Sin has no dominion over me. Soul, my soul, believe this. Great peace have they who love God's law, and nothing shall offend them. Soul, my soul, believe this. Himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. Soul, believe this. The power of God is upon me because I am filled with the Holy Ghost. Soul, believe this. I am loved to the max by my Father. Soul, believe this. We failed to minister to our soul and allowed our soul and our flesh to minister to us. Why? Because we have failed to take this word literally and begin to speak it into the mountain, my friends. We have failed. We have sat there all day long and let Goliath for 40 straight days, twice a day, 80 times in 40 days, uttering the same exact accusations, and the men of Israel, having a covenant with God, could do nothing about it because they ran like scalded puppies from an uncircumcised man that had no covenant with the living God. And they had a covenant. 80 times the same exact accusation. Walking in fear and torment. Why? Because they didn't access the word of God. Mark 4. Why are you so fearful, O ye of no faith? Will qualify them to be fearful. They believe the natural report. I think I probably would have too. If motion sickness bothers me, I do believe a boat sickness probably would have bothered me too. Right, Harry? Right, Robert? Because they said that they got motion sickness too. So you're going to make fun of me, you can make fun of them too. And they got it too. Yeah, I'm sorry. I sold you out, partner. Yeah, all three of us are wimps anyway. So that's why they were scared. Obviously, they woke him up. He was asleep. They woke him up. They were scared. They thought they were going to die. How do you know? Because they said, Master, care thou not that we perish. But who told them they were going to perish? Who told the disciples they were going to perish? I tell you who told them. The waves told them. The sea told him. The storm told him. The fact that the boat was going to ship, that told him. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Who told you that you were going to perish? Who told you that? Jesus said, let us go over unto the other side. That is the word of God. He said, I said unto you, let us go over to the other side. Seven words. I told you, let us go over to the other side. The word perish is not mentioned in that statement that I said unto you. I said, we are going over to the other side. Perish was not in that statement. He said, let us. Plural, not singular. The word of God was spoken. Boys, load up. Load up the tackle. We're going to the other side. My friends, that was enough. That was enough. The word of God was enough. Jesus is not a man, or the Father is not a man that he can lie. Christ is truth. In him is truth. Out of his spirit comes truth. He was filled by the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth lives in him. It's impossible for Jesus to lie. If he said, let us go over unto the other side, it was finished. They were going to make it to the other side. Christ Almighty spoke to them, said, let us go over to the other side. That was the no faith that they had. They had no faith in the word that Jesus spoke. But they believed a natural report over the words of the Son of the living God. Let me personalize it. They believed a natural report, as I would have too, over the manifested God in the flesh. Royalty, the King of Kings was there, said, we are going to the other side. My friends, if Jesus said, we are going to the other side, it's concrete. It is concrete. Sold. The goods have been delivered. If not, then Jesus Christ would have walked in darkness, because he would have been a liar. Why are you so fearful? Because there's a storm, Jesus. Do you not remember what I said to you? We are going to the other side. But the ways, we are going to the other side. Immokalee, Florida, you are going into revival. But Lord, you are going into revival. But Lord, no. You are going into revival. Jesus, I want to see so bad. You will see, boy. Don't give yourself over to your soul and to your flesh. If I got to say the same thing 20 or 25 times a day, not to move my Father, not to move Jesus, to make my soul believe what my spirit already believes, himself took my infirmities, himself bear my sickness. Jesus Christ, you have opened my eyes. The sky is blue. The grass is green. You have opened my eyes. I give you praise, Jesus. Why do I give you praise? Why am I comforted? Because your word comforts me. It is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Although that's God's word inside of my flesh and my soul, something wants to contradict that. Every time that I say, Jesus, you yourself, you took my infirmity and you bore my sickness, almost as soon as I'm done saying that, something in my flesh wants to rise up and contradict that which is holy. So what do? Soul, my soul, believe this. And I'll say it over and over again till they open up. I do not stop. I do not waver. Why? Because this is the word of God, and it is holy and undefiled and pure than the purest of gold. Men died for this word. They were sawn asunder for this word. Why are you so fearful? Why is it that you have no faith? I told you we were going to the other side. I told you we were going to the other side. That was enough. I told you we were going to the other side. Didn't I tell you? Oh my God. They said, what manner of man is this? I'll tell you what manner of man that was. A man whose candle was lit. A man who was filled with the Holy Ghost. A man that walked in maximum love. A human being spoke to the sea. A human being with a born-again spirit and filled with the Holy Ghost said, peace, be still. That lets me know one thing, Miss Gay. That if I believe the word of my Father, whether you think I'm crazy or not, I don't care what you think of me. I've got to the point where I don't care anymore. I want you to love me. I want you to like me. I want you to buy me a steak on occasion. But if you don't, this word reigns supreme. I want you to like me. I want you to like my preaching. But if you don't, I'm still going to preach again. Well, we teach it's for crazy people. I'm telling you, it's for crazy people. Crazy in a good sense. It's for Kevin. You sure you want to be part of this, Kevin? Where you at? What side, right? You sure you want to be part of this? We're crazy people now. We're crazy. Woo! That gay, she's crazy on Fridays. Crazy people here. We're crazy Mexicans, Haitians, blacks, white. We're crazy people here. We're going to be called a sect one day, Miss Gay. So be it. So be it. Why are you so fearful? Because we believe the natural report, Lord. We believe in natural elements. I said unto you that we're going to the other side. Why is it that you have no faith? No faith in what? No faith in the word that I spoke unto you that we're going to the other side. You called me a liar, boys. Us is plural, not singular. I told you we were going to the other side. Something in the natural came to challenge perfection. We have them choices every single day. We let this minister to our soul. We speak this to the mountain, or we let our soul and our flesh minister to us. No. No, my friends. Let's not be of no faith. We have to stand on God's word. We have to speak to the mountain regarding the will of God. One more. Was that pretty good or what? Mark 5, real quick. You don't have to turn there. Jairus, we know that he besought Jesus to heal his daughter. It all depends on which gospel you read. He said, come, lay your hands on my little daughter that she may live and be healed, for she is dead. Dead or dying, I believe she was dead. She was dead. He besought Jesus, fell at his knees, come. Can you imagine the desperation on Jairus' face? My little daughter, she's dying. She's dead. Listen to what he said. But come lay your hands on her that she may live and be healed. Jairus had heard about Jesus. The disciple said, we perish. Jairus said, come that she may live. The disciples that slept with the Son of God for 3.5 years. They said, we perish. When he never said nothing about perishing, he said, we're going to go to the other side. They said, we're going to perish. Jairus maybe hadn't even been in his circle or heard him preach maybe, says, come, my little daughter, she's dead, but come lay your hands on her and she'll be healed. Come. So Jesus went with Jairus. And I'm closing for real, Corey. No. I can feel him already. We know what happens as Jairus commutes with Jesus to his home, along with a multitude of a lot of people following them. I think Luke records that they separated themselves from the multitude. You don't think Jesus... This is what gets me. Religion says that it's not the will of God for Jesus to heal everyone. There's only one problem with that. It's just not true. How do you know? Because I know how to read. And I got big ears to hear God's word. One of the girls said to me Saturday at the homecoming, said, well, she said, homie, you got some pork chop ears. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I want to say, how about your mother? But I didn't. I didn't, because I'm dignified. I'm sanctified. I don't. No, but it's actually said it. I laughed. Count it all joy, right? But Jairus besought Jesus. Said, my daughter, she's dead. Said, but come lay your hands on her and she shall be healed and she'll live. I think Luke records that they distanced themselves from the multitude. Not for the sake of Jesus, but for the sake of Jairus. See, Jesus wants to work that miracle in our life. He coaches us while we contend and believe the word of God for that miracle. He coaches me every day when doubt comes in my mind that I'll ever see again. Jesus, the coach, coaches me through the Holy Ghost. No, don't say that. This is what you say. This is how you live. Jesus, James, and John, Jairus and his wife, they followed Jesus and they separated themselves from the multitude. Why? So that Jairus would not hear the negativity and the reports from the multitude. So they walk to the ruler's house. Woman with the issue of blood approaches Jesus. She got her healing. That's for another day. I got some good stuff on that. As Jesus is walking to Jairus' house, Mark 5, a certain man or certain group or certain people come from Jairus' house and says, "Do not bother the master. Thy daughter is dead." And you don't think Jesus cares about me and you, about whether we receive our healing or not? Look how personal he got with Jairus. How personal he got with him. But religion and deacon boards, they conclude, because there's no power in their midst, because they deny the Holy Ghost. If one dies of sickness and an elder prayed for that died of the sickness, then it must not be the will of God. No. The problem is the elder, me, that laid hands on the sick, did not have the goods quite yet. He did not believe that the Holy Ghost could do it. He did not believe completely in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. How do you know? Because that's what the Bible says, man. So he's commuting to the house. "Don't bother the master. Thy daughter is dead." Remember, they had distanced themselves from the multitude already so that Jairus would not hear the negativity from the multitude. He's walking to the house. And certain come up to Jairus and say, "Don't trouble the master. Thy daughter is dead." Listen to this. Listen to how personal Jesus is. How personal Jesus was with Jairus. How personal the Holy Ghost, the gentleman, the Holy Spirit. Look how personal he is with Homer when doubt creeps in. He tells me what to say. He tells me what to kick to the curb. He wants to work that miracle in my midst. Holy Ghost wants me to kick my soul and the flesh to the curb. "Don't trouble the master. Thy daughter is dead." Here is King Jesus. Mark 5 says that he heard the word. Notice, Jesus said he heard the word that was spoken. Jesus heard the word that was spoken by those that were in Jairus' house to Jairus, "Thy daughter is dead." My friends, make no mistake, she was dead. But Jesus said, when he heard the word that was spoken, he said unto Jairus, "Do not fear, only believe." Don't let the natural report that your daughter is dead. Homer, little David just died. You know what the Holy Ghost would utter at that moment? "Do not fear." It would be the will of God for that little boy to be raised up. "Do not bother the master or the teacher. Your daughter's dead." when Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he looked unto Jairus and said, do not fear, only believe. Don't let a natural fact, it was a fact, my friends, she was dead. Don't let a natural fact, don't let a doctor's report faze you. Only believe. Okay, you're saying not for me to give ear to the report in the natural. You're telling me, Jesus, not to listen to the man that said that my daughter was dead. You said only believe. Believe what, Jesus? You came to me. You asked me to lay my hands on your daughter and that she would live. Don't deviate from what you asked of me. I said I would raise her from the dead. Don't let the natural report that she's dead interfere with what you asked me to do for you. Do not fear, only believe. Only believe what? You came to me with a request and a desire that your little daughter would live. Jairus, if you believe and do not give heed to the natural report, she will rise again. If you do not fear and only believe the word of the Lord. What was the word of the Lord? I will go and she will live. The opposition was there from the multitude, from a certain person from his house, and now from his own soul. But the word of the Lord prevailed because Jairus believed that Jesus could raise his daughter from the dead. They walked into the room. They were mourning and screaming, and they got all soulish. He told them to leave. Separated himself from the multitude, went into the house and told those that were mourning and crying. He said, you got to go, not for the sake of Jesus, but so Jairus would not get in to believing that negative report. So you got to go. So you don't think that we got to speak to our soul saying, shut up, shut your mouth, soul, shut up and be quiet, flesh, shut up and be quiet, soul, my soul, believe this. Jairus' wife and the apostles, three of them, walked in with him. The Bible says Jesus grabbed her by her right hand. Talitha kumi, little girl, I say unto you, arise. Can you imagine the look on Jairus' face? Talitha kumi, little girl, 12 years old, I say unto you, arise. The Bible records that they were astonished with a great astonishment. The only thing that can stop God's word from working in our life is a contradiction from our flesh and our soul versus purity. We are our biggest problem. We will let our soul badger us 8 to 10 hours a day on what we don't have from God. We let our soul and our flesh minister to us. We have to take God's word and say what Miss Gay says. Soul, my soul, believe this. Homer, you have 20/20 eyesight. Why? Because Jesus Christ himself, he took your infirmities and he bore your sickness. That is the bottom line. That is my comfort. That is my consolation. End of conversation. If I got to say that 25 more times a day, then I have to say it and not allow my flesh to minister to me, but I got to minister to my soul. Say, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. You won't dictate to me. I'm a child of God, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. I got something so precious in my life. Where's the thing? I'm going to hit it. There you go. I got this transforming my mind and my candle has been lit. I am a son of God. My father cannot lie to me. Let us go into the other side was the word for the disciples. The resistance was the wind and the sea. The word of God prevailed. The word of the Lord to Jairus was, I'll go with you. I'll raise her. The multitude murmured. Those in his house murmured. His soul wanted to murmur. And Jesus said, do not fear, only believe. Again, the word of God that was believed through Jairus prevailed. And if he is not a respecter of persons, then me and you have a lot of hope. If only we believe. If only we believe. You might have to confess God's word over that mountain or situation 20, 25 times a day, man. How bad do you want to believe the word of perfection? It's not just good enough anymore. Well, you know what? Well, I'm not going to confess that. That's right. That's good. We can't confess it. But you got to confess that to the part of you that's opposing the word of God. You've got to minister to your soul, man. Soul, you shut your mouth. This is what the word of God says. This is what Miss Gay says on Friday nights. Soul, my soul, believe this. There's power in the word of God. No. The word of God is power. Let me rephrase. The word of God is power. Amen. Something you're going through right now in your life. Soul. My soul. Believe this. And you minister God's word and you tell your soul what it's going to believe. You tell that immoral woman, according to Proverbs, what it's going to believe. And if your soul rises up again 20 more times, you tell it 20 more times what your soul is going to believe. Are we moving God? No, sir. God's not the one that's blind. For a season. God's well equipped me. God has already provided. Homer just has to believe his word. Amen. Were you blessed? See, when a man doesn't work and say someone prays all day long, he can come up with some pretty good stuff. When he's a girly man and doesn't work like me, and since his wife's to work, he can come up with some pretty good stuff. There's a lot more, man, that out of the Good Samaritan, the woman that, the sinner from Luke chapter, there's some stuff that'll blow your mind. Like I said, I'm a bum. I stay home and pray all day long and I get this kind of stuff. And more than that, I'm getting peace through all this, Ms. Gay. I'm getting peace. And I feel that we're on the brink of something. And I can see the miracles. I can see them. I can imagine them there. Something's about to break out. Gary prophesied that this is a what? This is a year of what? Power. This is a year of power. So let's come together with this. Let's co-labor together. Let us love one another. Let's give each other some space. Let's love each other through strongholds. God knows we got them. You more than me. Anyway, I was just playing. I'm sweating bad. Hallelujah. Pray in the Holy Ghost, man. Pray in the Holy Ghost. And we get tired of praying in the Holy Ghost? Pray more. And we get tired of praying in the Holy Ghost more? Pray more. Fast. You get tired of fasting? Pastor Moore. I don't like that one. Amen. What was that, Stephen? Stand with me, please. What time did I get done? Tell me. Okay, that ain't bad. That ain't bad. See, Kevin, that ain't bad. We need to pray for Kevin. He's new here. Brace yourself, Kevin. Dallas, Texas. What's SpongeBob say about Texas? Dumb old Texas. He's 6'3", ain't he, Carl? Sorry. So sorry. Hallelujah. Our pastor will be back Friday for sure. I can't wait to hear him. I need to sit down a little bit. I had a good time ministering to you guys, ministering God's word, and we had an awesome time Saturday. Thank you for all the elders that prayed. People prayed. For 18 to get filled like that, somebody was praying. But after the service, we're going to have about a 2 or 3 minute meeting. Those that are going on the Tulsa trip, please, we'll go to my office with a refrigerator and a couch and a helmet. And I don't know why I said that. Father, I bless you and I worship you and I thank you for your word, Father. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, Father. We are thoroughly equipped as good soldiers to endure hardship, Lord. We have your life in us. We're filled with the Holy Ghost. We have the Holy Scriptures that transform our thought process, Father. We have no excuse to fail, Lord. We have no excuse to fail. Father, we love you and we praise you and we worship you. In the mighty, holy, precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everyone said, amen.